Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and even as we speak, it looks like the powers that be in Albany are putting the finishing touches on the state budget that takes effect next year for the next fiscal year. Budget in this case, including who'll get what kinds of tax cuts this year and how much money for pre-K there'll be, but also non-monetary items like where Mayor de Blasio has to find space for charter schools. Let's see what we know, because this is not final yet, and who among us it might affect, with Ken Lovett, Albany Bureau Chief for the Daily News. Hi, Ken.
Good morning. Can you just feel the excitement of the pending budget?
It happens every late March.
It does. It does.
Let's begin with charter schools. Such a bone of contention the last few weeks between the governor and Mayor de Blasio. Tell us what you know seems to be emerging in this deal.
Yeah, there is a tentative deal, or there was as of last night, that would basically require the city to, if they can't find public space for a charter, they would have to pay the rent for one in a private space. It would more or less save the three charter schools that the mayor rescinded the co-location agreements from, the Success Academy charters that Eva Moskowitz runs. Under the deal, they would have to find them a new space or find them private space and fund it. It doesn't necessarily have to be where they originally wanted it, but they do have to find them some space. It provides for the first time rent. It provides for the first time the power for the state and city comptroller's offices to audit charter schools. So it's going to be a pretty broad package.
Here is Governor Cuomo on this program 2 weeks ago today when I asked him point blank about whether he wants to tell Mayor de Blasio what to do about co-locations, whether the mayor has the power to decide if, you know, Eva Moskowitz's charter schools should be housed with other public schools that don't want them. This starts with my question. You're pressuring the mayor, from your standpoint as governor, to do something with the New York City public schools in terms of co-location?
No. No, co-location, that's up to a mayor. It's up to the mayor of the city. It's up to the mayor of Buffalo. It's up to the mayor of Albany. That's up to a mayor. I don't want to see a system statewide where charter schools can be aborted by any mayor or any city.
The governor here 2 weeks ago. So, Ken Lovett, I guess strictly speaking, the governor was true to his word because the agreement allows the mayor, as you said, to deny a co-location in a specific public school building. But also, as you said, it requires him to find some public school building for the charter schools approved by co-location by Mayor
or
Bloomberg.
A private alternative.
Some kind of space. So how do you match the governor's answer there to what's in the agreement?
Well, I mean, he would argue we're not taking away the power of them to determine where they are. I mean, it kind of does match up. He's saying the mayor can decide where they go, you know, whether there can be a co-location agreement, but at the same time, he cannot stop a charter school from operating in that regard that has already been approved or that the city has said can go ahead.
And also from what I've read this morning about this emerging deal, the language refers to a guarantee of public school space or publicly funded private space for any charter approved for co-location, which says to me the mayor is not obligated to approve any in the future. So is this just about one specific group left over from Bloomberg, or does it have implications for what de Blasio must do in the future in terms of agreeing to co-locations?
Quite honestly, we have not seen the bill language yet. They have not printed the bill, so that's a tough one to answer. Certainly, it seems like they put a financial incentive going forward for the mayor to find space for charters that are approved, because under the agreement, for the first time, the city would have to pay for rent in private locations, and the city would be on the hook for $40 million, the first $40 million that the charters spend in private rent combined, and then the state and city would share the cost over that. So it kind of does give an incentive to the city. If you don't want to spend that $40 million, you know, on that kind of issue, then you want to find them space.
Pressure as well as an incentive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I see there's also an increase in per pupil funding for charter school kids. Again, according to the reporting so far on this emerging deal, if that's in there, would that mean that they'll be getting more state aid than regular public school kids per pupil, a new kind of inequality?
Oh, no, because right now charter schools get about 30% less than the traditional public schools.
Really?
Per student.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so what will end up happening now is they will see about an $1,100 per student increase over 3 years. $250 the first year, and then I think it's another $500, and I forget how it breaks down, but it's $1,100 over 3 years.
So charter schools are having whatever success they're having, and it's very variable, but they're having whatever success they're having with less money per pupil than the city and the state are spending on kids in regular public schools, or just the state?
Yeah, I mean, look, they don't have to, you know, the teachers aren't unionized, so theoretically they don't have to pay as salaries as high, and, you know, they're not paying rent. Well, not that the public schools do, but, yeah, no, the costs are lower. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they have argued that they deserve more money and they deserve more per pupil, that we are public schools, we're, you know, we are educating public school kids, but they'll get $1,100 over 3 years. That's what the deal is.
We're talking about March Madness, Albany style, the end of the month budget deal for the next fiscal year for New York State, which begins on April 1st, with Ken Lovett, Albany bureau chief for the Daily News. And let's go on to another item. I've also seen a report that there is some kind of parity in this emerging budget, $340 million each, between new money for universal pre-K and some kind of property tax rebate. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a surprise that the Senate in particular, the Senate Republicans, would push for something like this. The of the $340 million that is going to be earmarked for pre-K, $300 million of that would go to New York City, assuming the mayor can get the program up and running. It's not a grant. It's, you know, if you spend it, we will reimburse you. So as a result, there is a property tax plan that the governor has pushed, but that would provide pretty much the same amount of savings, but or same amount of money, but for upstate and the suburbs.
Because the property tax, pretty much, the rebate is targeted at suburban communities and upstate communities, non-New York City. But does that mean that they're taking exactly the same amount of money out of the budget, $340 million, because it's a tax cut, that they will have to find for the new pre-K funding, meaning they just created a $680 million hole to fill?
That would seem it, and they say they have filled it. But again, we have not seen the details of the overall budget. We're expecting to get a press release later in the day announcing the agreement and what some of the details are. But the budget bills themselves won't be printed until probably late tonight. So, you know, over the weekend, it should be a lot clearer about what is going on.
And they may say it's just going to come out of a surplus, not from cuts and anything else, right? Because there's more tax revenue coming in during the recovery than was anticipated for this fiscal year in the last budget?
They'll say that, and also the governor has held the line on spending when it came to the state agencies, and certain other areas face cuts, so, you know, they'll say in the overall scheme of things. And they also, yeah, they, you know, one of the Albany, I won't call it three-card Monty tricks, but is to find revenue and find projected revenue that's more than what had usually been projected by the governor's office. And then they add that to the spending.
I'm glad you won't call it a three-card Monty trick. What other tax cuts are in here?
There's, we're told there'll be some corporate tax cuts, which is what the governor really pushed. You know, he has a three-year, $2 billion tax cut plan. Again, specifics on exactly how it'll be laid out, we don't have yet, but I'm told that the business tax cuts, which the progressives really fought against, they're in there. One of them, apparently the Senate pushed for the elimination of a utility tax that was supposed to be phased out, but the governor extended last year. That apparently is either going to be sped up or phased out completely. That's one of the taxes.
What's the fate of the DREAM Act, allowing undocumented college students to get the same tuition assistance as other students with the same financial status?
DREAM is dead for now. You know, it's an issue that they really fought over as of at least 11 o'clock last night. It was not back in the budget. It's just, you know, the Senate wouldn't budge on it. The Senate Republicans in particular wouldn't budge on it. They say, we voted on it last week. It failed in the Senate. No reason to revisit it. Along the same lines, an education investment tax credit that Cardinal Dolan had been pushing. This would have given a tax break to people who donated to private or public schools. That was also that fell out of the budget talks as well. That will not be included.
What haven't I asked you about that's worth mentioning?
Well, apparently there is a deal in the homeless battle between, you know, homeless funding battle between Mayor de Blasio and the governor. That is in there. You know, the mayor, I'm sure, will spin the pre-K as a win in that he's getting, you know, a lot of the money that he wanted, not all of it. And then there's going to be, a 5% increase in overall education spending. So, you know, these are some of the things that are trickling out.
And
we don't know if there's an ethics. The governor has been pushing very hard for an ethics reform package, an anti-corruption package, with the idea being if they can pass something, he will then allow his anti-corruption commission that he created last July to kind of go away. They'll defund it and it'll go away.
Would that ethics
if they've reached that.
Would that ethics reform package include public funding for campaigns?
As of last night, no. That was still on the table, however. But it was on life support, I guess is the best way to put it. They were looking for different ways. You know, should it be a constitutional amendment? Should it be phased in over a number of years? Should there be a pilot project just only for the comptroller's office or the attorney general's office? And a lot of the advocates who want it have said no to the pilot projects. They want the whole kit and caboodle, and it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. The Senate doesn't believe in using taxpayer dollars to pay for political campaigns.
Will they at least close the LLC loophole, which we've reported on here in the past, which allows people to set up basically shell corporations so they can funnel more money into selected campaigns?
That was one of the things on the table. I don't know. That was still unresolved as of last night, as was, you know, the governor is pushing for more enforcement out of the Board of Elections with an independent prosecutor type that he would actually appoint with confirmation from the Senate. Not clear if that made it in. He wants more. He wants to toughen the anti-bribery laws. And again, not sure if that made it in. Those were still up in the air as of 11 last night.
Do you guys in the Albany Press Corps, men and women in the Albany Press Corps, do you make, like, March Madness Albany budget brackets to see what's going to get in and not get in?
We don't. We should, I guess. That's not a bad idea. And March Madness really is the perfect term. I mean, for people who haven't seen it, it is the craziest system. The governor and the four legislative leaders really make all the decisions, and then the legislative leaders go back and, you know, seek guidance from their members. But it's all done behind closed doors, and reporters, you know, sit outside this room like you're waiting for the selection of a pope, and you're waiting for this white smoke. And, you know, you could be out there a couple hours, and then the leaders come out, and, you know, you get such platitudes as, oh, we're making a lot of progress, things are moving in the right direction. But there really is no a lack of information. There's a total lack of information, and you just kind of glean things from sources. But then all of a sudden it's done, the white smoke goes up, and you have a budget deal that you then have to go through and see what they stuffed in there.
My basketball-obsessed producer, Jody, just said, campaign finance is a 16 seed every year. So there you go. Ken Lovett, Albany Bureau Chief for the Daily News. Thanks a lot.
Anytime. Be well.